Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. Please take your seats. We're going to start again. Sooner we start, sooner we can finish. Just pull it out. Move the mints so that I don't knock it every time I have a mint. Otherwise, you'll be going on, off, on, off, on, off. So welcome back. We're going to spend the rest of the afternoon in the capable hands of Patrick Sharry, talking about the ICANN strategic and operational plan. I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to involve coloured bits of paper. So, if you're ready, Master, are you ready? Oh, okay, we have a slide issue. So I should just extemporise on the spot until tap dancing, perhaps. I could redo my speech from last... No, perhaps not. Just the slides. Just the slides, yes, that's right. Patrick, is that okay if Byron starts with his intro? Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much for everybody who is still here at the end of the day. I think this is going to be a really good session. It is on behalf of the Strategic and Operational Planning Committee. And basically, our goal was to help the community absorb and understand the ICANN operating and strategic plan and planning process. Our goal is not to speak for the community, but to help facilitate the process and the interaction. The committee was struck a number of months ago, partway through the operating planning cycle. And our goal really was to get the committee organized, start understanding the process, how we could interact with the committee, as well as ICANN and the process itself. And we jumped in, as I said initially, to start working on the transmission of a moving car, which it wasn't perfect, but it got us started. And since it was actually an ongoing process, there was no other way really to do it. We got the committee up and running. We put out a document regarding the operating plan for the community, which hopefully some of you read, and was really highlighting what we believe to be five of the key issues out of the 14 or 15 listed in the ICANN operating plan that were of particular relevance to the community. So that was our first attempt to communicate and provide some value to the community. Now that the strategic planning cycle for ICANN is about to be kicked off, and I think Doug is going to announce its strategy planning season in a few moments, we want to try to engage the community and start to get a feel for what would be relevant, what would be of value for us to provide to the community, as well as really get the community engaged and focused on what's important to the community and putting that feedback into the ICANN strategic loop. As I mentioned earlier, as we get into the budgeting cycle and the inevitable revenue side of that cycle, I think it's very important for us to ensure that our issues are addressed within the process, and it's incumbent upon all of us to take the time to really think about what's important to your CC and to the community and put that into the ICANN cycle. It's in all of our self-interest to do that. So in terms of today, it's really we tried to create something that was going to be very interactive, and initially what we're going to do, it's going to be facilitated by Patrick Sharry, who most of you probably know, a well-known facilitator within the ICANN community. And it's going to be really divided into a couple of parts. The first part is some specific questions that we're going to pose to the panel and where we can talk about them, but also you know, anybody within the room can also add and provide feedback, questions, commentary. We'll work on that, or we'll do that for probably 20 to 30 minutes, and then we'll really have a facilitated discussion with the whole room on any elements that should be germane to the strategic plan and the planning cycle, and that will form really the back half of the afternoon's program. So to begin with, the key people who are going to help make this happen are Doug Brent, the Chief Operating Officer of ICANN. He's going to kick off the strat planning season right here in this room today, do a few slides. Patrick Sherry will be facilitating. And to begin with, Leslie is going to give us a couple of comments on the importance of strategic planning and perhaps a little bit of a historical overview.
Thank you.
And with that, Leslie.
I'm another strategic plan fan, so apologies if our enthusiasm, we get a bit carried away. Do you ever have to justify why you are coming to ICANN? Why are you traveling so far and spending so much time and energy with ICANN? And I guess if you answer that, normally you will say, well, I come to learn, I come to participate, I come to contribute and hopefully make changes, make a contribution. And maybe also we come to prevent changes that we may not wish to happen. And for me, the strategic plan process is a real important element of that. And one of the reasons why I'm part of this group is because I have always been very concerned that as CCs, we've not participated in the ICANN plan process very well. And that needs to change because it's important. It's important because the plan determines what ICANN will be doing and therefore what we will be doing. It determines the priorities. It determines an annual operating plan, which means that determines the budget. And you'll remember we looked at the figures earlier. These things are all connected, and the starting point of that for me is the strategic plan. And we need, therefore, to ensure that our priorities to our community are included in the plan, and that we have a real voice in that plan process. And that's really the purpose of today and why it's very important.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. Patrick, can I just make a couple comments on the slide? Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Doug Brent, ICANN staff, Chief Operating Officer at ICANN, and on staff responsible in the end for these planning processes that ICANN runs. Patrick and I looked at our comparative skill set, and he's going to go ahead and do the slides, but I just wanted to say a couple quick words about the strategic plan. First of all, I think the CCNSO with this budget committee that you put together sort of in mid-budget cycle and now looking at the strategic plan, I guess I shouldn't stand right there, looking at the strategic plan right up front, is actually on the leading edge of ICANN organizations in engaging in the planning process. So you don't see several of the organizations, several of the constituent bodies of ICANN have a way to sort of react to these plans once they're put together, but I think this is really the first time we're seeing someone come in at the front end, which is very welcome. I think the first ever strategic plan process for ICANN was long before my involvement at ICANN. I think it was really painful. As a top-down driven plan. And I think ultimately the strategic plan of ICANN should not be just a plan for the the people who are ICANN staff or the board, but rather a whole community strategy plan, which I think that's work you all will begin today. The second comment I want to make, and I'm almost done, is that Leslie and I were sitting next to each other on a panel yesterday, and the question asked was, I don't know if I'll get the question exactly right, but sort of, what's the one thing you would do at ICANN to sort of improve how things were working? And maybe that's stated a little more broadly than it was asked. But Leslie and I sort of immediately at a moment of mutual epiphany said, you know, it is prioritization. That is the most important thing ICANN could do. And so I think that more and more, I know that the CCNSO has been a voice for don't just arbitrarily grow, don't have mission creep. I think you're also seeing a strong push from the rest of the ICANN community that says there's just too much work. There's more work going through the system than community members can meaningfully deal with. And so I think this prioritization will be a theme. And so a way to provide that prioritization is exactly starting with the strategic planning process and the work you're all engaged in today. So with that, I'll hand it over to Patrick.
Thanks, Doug. And I'd just like to pick up on some of those things that Doug has said. One of the things that pleased me about the strategic planning process over the last few years is that the communities of ICANN have become more and more involved. And as Doug has said,
Patrick.
Brad's not getting anything.
Any better for you guys? No? Can we just
we're getting no sound to the scribes.
If we don't get it right soon, I'll start to sing.
Got it. You're good. You're good to go.
That's very scary. Okay. One of the things that's happened as we've worked on this ICANN strategic plan over several years is the community has become more and more involved. And I'd really like to support what Doug has said, that in the end, the best answer here is that the plan we have is the ICANN community plan. And to make that work, we need to do things like we're doing today. And therefore, you know, Doug and I, as people who'll be working on the plan over the next 6 months, really welcome the sort of initiative that you've put in place today to, at the beginning of the process, bring the CC community in your case together and talk about some of those strategic issues so that we can incorporate them into the plan and we really do start to build an all of ICANN community plan. And I'd also like to reiterate Doug's other point about prioritisation. We're all clever people. We're all very fond of what we do. We all love this technical stuff. We'd have no trouble coming up with thousands and thousands of interesting things to do. Our real challenge is to work out, in all of that, what's the most important. What really should our priorities be? And that way we'll make the best use of our time. So, what I'd like to do is to take you very quickly through a few slides here that just outline how strategic planning works in ICANN. And then we'll go to a discussion with our panel members at the top table here. And then as that goes on, we'll start to involve you as CCTLD people in that discussion. And that will give us some sense by the end of the day, we hope, of what some priorities might be, what some issues might be, and what's some of the material we can take with us into the planning process. At some point a little bit later on, Bart Boswinkle will come around and hand out pieces of paper so we can sense the temperature of the room on some things as we go. And a bit later on again, Gabby and Bart will become the microphone fairies, as they're called, who'll be able to get microphones to people so that you can make comments. Righto, ICANN strategic planning. As you can see from the slide up here, ICANN runs a 3-year strategic plan. It's a rolling 3-year plan, which means that we update it every year and we always look out 3 years. I know that in some places, I think particularly in Europe, people are used to strategic plans that are fixed 5-year plans or fixed 10-year plans, and it's a slightly different planning paradigm. Because of the sort of organisation that ICANN is, because of the way that it continues to evolve, because of the sort of issues that we deal with, we've adopted this 3-year plan updated annually, so a rolling 3-year plan model. As you've had experience recently, that then dovetails into the ICANN operating plan, which is an annual plan that turns those strategic priorities into concrete initiatives. And you've just participated in exactly that a little bit earlier this week, I think. So, the ICANN year has two parts. The first half of the calendar year, January to June, which we've just finished, is about the operating plan. and July to December is strategic planning season. So we're starting now, and the objective is that by December, for the December meeting, the board will approve the next three-year strategic plan, which will run from July 2010 until June 2013. There's a site page on the ICANN website that captures all of this, icann.org/planning, and you can go there at any stage to check the status of documents, latest versions of plans and things like that. So, what's a strategic plan? Well, a strategic plan is, here we stand in the present, we're looking into the future, we're trying to work out what's the most important stuff for us to do. And so what we need to do is we need to think about what's likely to change in the ICANN environment. Some of that will be technical, some of that will be social, some of that will be political, some of that might even be environmental. But things will change. And the only thing we can be certain about is that we won't get that prediction of the future right. But we should at least be aware of what some of the main drivers might be of those changes. And that will be the focus of our panel discussion this afternoon, the first part. The next bit will be to look at what are the organisational challenges. ICANN's an evolving organisation. What are the challenges that we think, the organisational challenges that we're likely to face? What might we need to do to address those? What's the shape of the organisation that we think we might need in order to deal effectively with the environmental changes that we're expecting? How might we shape ourselves most effectively for the future? And that will be another part of our panel conversation this afternoon. And then we need to turn all of that thinking into strategic priorities. Now, we've used a slide similar to this for a number of years now. I think, as we were saying earlier, our real challenge this time, our extra challenge this time, is to make sure that we get the priorities right. So we're very clear about what are the things that matter the most. And again, not surprisingly, but to make it explicit, because of the way that ICANN operates and because we believe that it's important to have a community plan, all of that is done through consultation with the ICANN community. So it's a little bit of a different model from the way that many corporate plans would be written, for example, in that rather than the CEO or the board or someone telling you what's got to happen, this is the ICANN bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. So listening to the community and getting from them a sense of what our strategic priorities should be. So in very broad brush, how's this going to look? We're starting today with you good folk, our consultations with the community, talking about what are the changes to the environment, what are the organisational issues that we're likely to face. And that's going to happen from June to September. The board will have a workshop in September where they'll talk about those issues. It's quite possible that some board members or even a committee of board members may become more involved during this consultation phase as well. But the real milestone here is that there'll be a board workshop in September. The staff will also meet to consider all of this and think it through. From these inputs, we'll release a draft plan in multiple languages sufficiently in advance of the Seoul meeting so that people have time to consider it and then discuss it at the meeting in Seoul. We'll then take the input that we receive there and redraft the plan. We may do further consultations on the phone or otherwise in public comment forums. We'll redraft the plan based on what we hear and then submit the plan to the board in December for their approval. So that's the six-month strategic planning season. I'll just quickly pause there to see if there's any questions from anyone. Okay. That's all we need there. We're going to move now to a panel discussion where our learned friends at the top table here will be able to provide us with all of the answers. They have had the questions in advance, for a couple of days in advance at least, and we're just going to try and work through some of those. We'll stop at various times and get your input as well. But while we know that you'll make a wonderful microphone fairy later on, could you be the paper fairy now, please? Bart's going to come around and distribute a different Australian version of red and green pieces of paper. The green ones are definitely still green. We've decided rather than rule anything outright with red pieces of paper, we'll instead go for a cautionary yellow piece of paper. So we'll have green for support and yellow for caution. And we'll explain a little bit more about that when we come to our first vote. So while those pieces of paper are going round, Byron, would you be happy if I started with you? The first thing that we want...
Excellent. Don't wait for a reply or anything.
Okay.
I warned him about that on Sunday, so it's not a complete surprise. Okay, the first thing that we want to talk about is a fairly broad question. What do you think will be the major drivers of change in the DNS and in the internet more broadly over the next 5 years? Byron, what's your thoughts?
Well, thanks for starting with a small question.
You have 2 hours.
Well, I think there's a, you know, that question can be answered on a number of fronts. Some smaller answers.
I'm sorry. I promise not to cough again.
Well, at least now everybody's awake to hear what we're going to say. So. Okay, on that note, I think there are issues just strictly in terms of volume. Obviously, DNS queries are expanding or increasing dramatically. I mean, twofold every 13 months, certainly in our space, and I think probably most others. I think key among the key drivers over the next 5 years will be the number of devices out there, anything from, you know, fridges to phones to all kinds of different tethered devices that require IP addresses. So just the sheer increase in hardware and devices that require communication to, that's certainly going to be a big one. Bandwidth, obviously what we're seeing today in terms of the increase in queries, but also just sheer bandwidth. DNSSEC, IPv6 issues. So I think each of those, in a sense, will be the key drivers of changes to the DNS in the next 5 years. And I'll just sort of end before I pass it on. I think security, broadly defined in all its forms, will just continue to become more and more important. And we saw an interesting session earlier today that highlighted some of those issues.
So, Byron, that's volume, both in terms of queries, devices, and so forth, and then the bandwidth that's needed to support all that, and then the security concerns that will bring with it. Is that a...
That's a fair summary,
fair
yes.
Fair summary, good. Okay. Sabina, what about... Yours is a European perspective, isn't it?
At least it's a German perspective. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a European one because I only think I can't speak for not for Germany, but actually from a registry standpoint for .de. And I think especially when you look to Europe, you will see that a lot of the ccTLDs are different, are managed differently, and therefore their perspective might be different. But I think I agree with Brian that we will see a traffic growth. It will not be so fast that it was in the past. I think 3 years ago, the magic rule from Joachim Storbach, who is our head of operation departments, was traffic is doubling every 3 months. Now it's traffic is doubling every 1.5 year. So it's slowing down, at least what we see on our DNS infrastructure. What we will see...
I'm just going to stop you there for 1 minute. We're going to get these pieces of paper to work. So we've just had a suggestion there that the rate of growth is actually slowing down.
No, sorry. The rate of growth of the DNS traffic, that doesn't mean the rate of internet traffic at all.
Okay,
because
so
the
rate
DNS
of growth,
traffic is only a very, 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 very small portion of the traffic.
So the rate of growth of the DNS traffic is slowing down. If that's consistent with your experience, can we just have a green piece of paper so that we know a few? If that's not consistent with your experience, can we have a yellow piece of paper? Okay.
Oh, sorry, Meg, I have another question. Who is running your DNS by themselves and has the data already? So good. Not a lot of people in the room have the data.
Right, okay. Keep going.
Okay. So I think what we will also see, we'll see a regularization. If we think about IDN TLDs, if we think about things like .Berlin, we will see how this regularization will affect actually the DNS. I would expect from a purely technical level, not very much, but we will see that. We will see currently in Germany, I think a lot of people have seen the announcements. There is a new law where the providers actually are asked for blocking child pornography via installing DNS filters. So we will see maybe more regulation in that direction, so more filtering maybe with regard to the DNS, maybe otherwise. So how do we cope with it? Does that change our services? Does that change the expectations of the users? We have to integrate when we look up the internet in the past, I would say, you will see new service popping up. When we think about the internet in the past, when I think of the internet in the 90s, everybody was talking about a new service which was called web. And he wrapped up the internet within 2 years. It actually catches all the traffic. And then video streaming came up. And now it's movies are downloaded. So what we are seeing is that we will see, let's say, every 3 years a new killer application. And we don't know how the killer application will look like and how it affects our very, very small part of the operation. So we have to maintain a very flexible system. So from my perspective, I think we have to enhance resilience. We have to enhance robustness, and we have to be as flexible as possible to respond to the needs which will be faced us in the future. And we will have to be as flexible as possible when the new killer application starts and is immediately there within half a year to then provide an answer instead of discussing 3 years what we will do with it.
Terrific. Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question?
You can, but I'll get your microphone first, Doug.
The first point was resilience. The second point was robustness, and it was about that when we see a new application or a new service coming up, which actually really causes demands to our service, that we have to be flexible and fast to adjust and to address it. So we have to maintain a lot of flexibility and a lot of robustness in the system.
And that's quite consistent with what Byron was saying about new devices and so forth, that we may not be able to predict exactly how that will play out. Youngham, how does that look from your part of the world?
I think I mostly agree with Byron and Sabina. I'd like to take it to a slightly different perspective on the increase in the number of devices, though, with regard to DNS, because there is a real possibility of not using the DNS and the IP system to access all the little refrigerators and all these little gadgets. There is a real possibility that a local network be used, like Bluetooth, for example, could be used instead of the DNS system for accessing devices that are very local. And so adding to what Byron has said and what Sabina has said, I think that we would need to be aware of the new the developments in new networking technologies that may very well and very seriously affect the DNS. And I think that also could have something to do with the fact that the increase in the traffic is slowing down.
Okay.
Other than that,
Before you go on, would you see that as competition to the DNS, complementary to the DNS?
I would definitely see it as a complementary, not competition.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yep. Right. Now, you're about to make another point.
The other point is a very obvious one, the current two big issues of new DGLDs and IDNs. We don't know how that's going to develop.
Yep. No, that's good. Thank you. Oscar, from a Latin American perspective?
Yes. Is it open? Okay. Yeah, well, I don't want to repeat what Ivari just said. I think that I share most of the expectations or appreciations of the coming years. Just to bring a different perspective, what I think that we could expect in the next years, in at least in Mexico, is the introduction of more mobile devices, and with that the growth on the number of queries or the need to have a stronger and more robust DNS. Maybe that will bring the need for a more a resilient system, because that would be more dependable for many of the operations in the economy. Currently, internet penetration in Mexico is not too high, 20% only. The broadband is not too broad, and so there are a couple of issues at this moment. But all we can expect is to have a growth from this point. So it's basically to have a more robust DNS in the coming years, not only because of these new technologies, but because of the natural growth on the use of the internet.
And I think that's a really important point that you brought out there, Oscar, that not only we're talking about an increase in volume of queries or whatever, but we're also talking about an increased volume of dependency on that infrastructure for, you know, for example, financial service transactions or even electricity transactions, all sorts of things. So there's a lot of aspects to this different volume piece. So that's a good point to make. Thank you. Vicar, from your perspective?
I think probably our question should have been simply, do you agree with what has been said? Because I think I'm very much covered in what has been said. In addition to the IDNs and the new GTLDs, I see security as one aspect of the DNS that is going to influence the future of the DNS and where it goes. The dependence that Oscar has just mentioned on the DNS is a critical aspect, and it does mean that the more we depend on the DNS, the hackers and the naughty guys out there will also be attacking the DNS even more. Mm-hmm. My particular concern and personal one is always, is the DNS and then the internet in general robust enough to take us into the future in a more secure way? Mm-hmm. Because I fear, and I talk probably as a non-technical person, a situation in the future where we are very much more dependent on the internet and the DNS in particular, and then somebody basically manages to, in a big way, attack the DNS, mm-hmm. and substantially we are not able to function as effectively as we would 30 years ago when we were not so much over-dependent on the internet. So security for me is one going to be is one of those that will really drive the future.
That's good, Vicar. I think you said that, you know, it was what everyone else said, though. I think the new point that you brought in there or drew out more explicitly is this notion that we should really expect there will be more attacks, that
definitely.
As the thing becomes more critical as a piece of infrastructure, it's more likely to be attacked, and therefore the need for robustness is made even greater. That's fine. Now, Chris, given that they've all been here and seen it, and we know that in Australia the water goes down the plug hole the other way, everything's upside down, how does it look from this side of the world?
Yeah, okay.
The DNS, the DNS runs the other way?
Yes, exactly, yes. You type AU first, and then... well, the question refers to the DNS and to the internet generally, and I think that's good because most people don't make a distinction. We do, but most people don't. And security, as an example, is something that could be a security problem that doesn't actually have anything to do with the DNS, but in people's minds it does. My thing is about IDNs, I think. And it kind of links what everybody has said together in a way. The ability to have an IDN CCTLD in China and in India... we'll see a massive increase in the number of people accessing the internet. And the vast majority of those people are going to be doing that on mobile phones. They're not mm-hmm. going to be doing it on computers. And the mobile phone structure doesn't have anything like, or the mobile phone itself doesn't have anything like the security built into it that our computers do, at least at the moment. And so there's going to be a whole new target for attacks, not necessarily on the DNS, but attacks generally. If that happens, and if we start seeing financial transactions being ripped off and all of that sort of thing, that is going to lead to even more focus on the security of the DNS and an even higher push from some governments to try to governmentalize the management of what they see as the internet. And I think those are the things that are likely to be coming in the next few years.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Okay, we've heard from our learned panel here. Is there anything important they've missed? Andy, and then we'll go to Rolf. We're just looking for our microphones. We know that Bart has one there. We might go to Rolf first and then come to you, Andy, when we get a microphone.
Two points from my perspective.
Hang on, we'll just...
Is it on?
Yeah, it is now.
I think one, Chris touched mostly on it already, but we have the 1.5 million people on the net, I think, now. And I think in the coming 5 years that amount will grow tremendously, especially from countries like China, which will have all kinds of influence. And I think the other thing, at least I think it's important, is that we will have the first generation that was born with the internet around it, will become active, will leave school and start working. And I know from my kids, they don't use email, for instance. They use the internet a completely different way as I do, and that is bound to have an influence.
Yep,
absolutely.
Yep. That's a very good point, Rolf. Thank you. If we can get that across to Andy. Can we just see if there's another handheld microphone there that we could be using? Thanks.
Andy Linton. I think one of the things that hasn't been mentioned is there was some discussion about the volume of traffic going down. When we see DNSSEC introduced, the volume of traffic will take a hike because the packets are bigger. And when we see IPv6 start to bite in the next couple of years, we'll see more traffic because the packets are bigger, because the addresses are longer and there's just more data flying around. So I think those are things that people are going to really have to think hard about. And that's not just for the providers who are, the registries who are providing the DNS. It's what do you do when you get a DNSSEC packet back that says there's no such domain. At the moment, when we get that sort of thing, you get a negative cache. And now, in the future, what's going to happen is there will have to be something in the browser that says this isn't a valid domain and there should be no continue button to bypass it in the way that we do this stuff now. So there's a whole set of implications which touch on what Chris talked about in security and touched out about the way applications are written, and there's a massive task to be taken on, which isn't ICANN's job, but it certainly is the job for the community to communicate to vendors and to users and so on, but that work has to be done. So I think that's really important stuff that we need to be on track on. DNSSEC is going to be a major, major change to the way the DNS works. And we'll have a major impact on all sorts of aspects across the registry business, registrar, and the whole thing.
Yeah, so just to tease it out and make that all explicit, Andy, how's that going to look for the average ccTLD manager, if there is such a thing?
Well, I mean, you know, when a domain starts to be signed, when we start with the root, or even if, you know, other domains like .org have signed in Sweden and so on, there's a set of extra conditions about how the record is stored, and there's a whole set of other security implications. The data sizes are larger. So that changes the way traffic patterns for the DNS traffic is going to move around. But the bigger implication is right now, if you get something back, you know, if there's a phishing attempt or there's various things like that go on, you can end up at the wrong website. Now, one of the things that hopefully will be happening is we'll be getting less of going to the wrong website because you've got a secured record. And the other piece is certainly there's some thoughts that perhaps what should be happening with the DNS as well is that security certificates should be stored in there as well, as, you know, instead of you going off to buy a certificate, an X509 certificate for your website, you would actually disseminate those in the DNS as well. So there's a whole set of things going on in there which will change the way this works. And users will have hopefully we'll have the same experience, but it will be more secure.
Right. Okay. You may wish to answer, or people at the top table may wish to answer. We've been talking about DNSSEC for a while. Andy's talked about why that matters. Chris has just threatened us there that that's all very well, but a lot of the internet traffic, the DNS traffic in the new world, in the future, in developing countries, for example, may well be on mobile phones and whatever. Should we be thinking, and I don't know the answer to this, should we be thinking about the what's after DNSSEC issue? Andy, you've got a mic, away you go, and then we might take a comment from the top table.
I think we've got enough to do to think about before we start thinking about what's after DNSSEC. But I think it's careful that people should be careful here. I mean, I heard one speaker say something about if we use Bluetooth, we mightn't need so much DNS and so on. You know, there is a fundamental thing that needs to be done here, which is map names to numbers, whether they're Ethernet addresses or IP addresses or IPv4 addresses or IPv6 addresses. So a service that takes names and maps them into numbers is going to be around for a very long time on the internet, and it might be called DNS2 or DNS3 or, you know, son of DNS or whatever, but there is going to be a service around there that does that mapping of names to numbers mm-hmm. for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Andy. Sabina. Any views? Sabina?
Actually, I agree with you that there will be a service which maps names to numbers, and it may be called DNS2 and DNS3, but the question is if it still will be organized in a central way via in a hierarchical way like it's done currently or different, and if it's done by CCTLD operators or by someone else. So it may be a complete different question. But I have a comment to Chris's point. Where you say there will be a lot of mobile operations and mobile devices on the net, and that by definition or by causes insecurity from my perspective. Without having a sort of a proof, I wouldn't really buy that argument, because currently most of the mobile devices are run by mobile operators in more or less closed networks, and where they have a lot of control what their users are doing and how their users are doing. So I wouldn't, without any explanation, I wouldn't buy the argument.
Okay, well, certainly here, the mobile providers are constantly engaged in discussions about the issue, and I don't think it's an issue. I think they do. The point I was making was not necessarily that the network itself is going to be a problem. The point I was making was that because the individual phone itself is basically, from a web browsing point of view, security free, or with a much lower level of security. And I'm talking. Yeah, I appreciate that, but that's an iPhone, right?
It's really that
individual users may find themselves subject to a higher level of attack than they are on a mobile phone than they are on a computer, and the result of that is that it lifts the debate on security, and a result of that is that you end up with people for putting pressure on for changes in the way the DNS is run.
That's good. I'll come back to some of that in a moment, Chris. Let's go back to the floor here.
My name is Danny Arts. One of the things I just wanted to highlight is that a bit what has been discussed is the basic demand for domain names. What we've seen is from the beginning we thought about web and email as the application that drove demand, and then somebody was surprised that you had pay-per-click and you have search engine optimization that was actually driving and is still driving the growth right now. We have to realize that it's more and more money coming into the system as advertisement becomes more online, and that will affect much more demand than we can foresee right now, and can even slow demand if Google kills SEO purposes or grace period can't be used anymore for pay-per-click.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Josh?
Just to follow on that last comment about search engine optimization, even though a lot of traffic comes now from search engines, still end users spend 25% of their time looking at the domain name. So they make a call whether or not they'll visit, you know, number 1, 2, 3, or 4 on the search engine list because of the domain name. And so I think the challenge from a strategic planning perspective is how does ICANN and the domain name community work out how it's going to make domain names make sense to end users. So in other words, the usability of domain names. When we start talking about adding new top-level domain names, new second, new third-level, when we look at some of the presentations that were given this morning, which said that, you know, these users don't get that signin.ebay.blah.blah.countrycode isn't actually really eBay, you start saying, well, it's really, you know, it's in part, we can deal with it at a technical level, but it's in part educating end users. So when we add new top-level, second-level, third-level domain names to the various hierarchies, will end users get it? And how do we make sure they get it? What educational process is undertaken? Should there be consistency across different country codes, et cetera, et cetera?
Good. Thanks, Josh. Can we just do a little bit of a temperature check? We'll just use the green pieces of paper. And this is partly driven by my own personal interest. Who expects to be heavily involved in IPv6 in their TLD within the next 3 years? Just a piece of paper in there so we can... Okay, so that's a fairly big thing. Who expects to spend even more of their time dealing with security issues? Okay, so it looks like the people on the panel got that bit right. And who's already planning now for significant increases in volume over the next 3 years? Okay, so that one, not quite so. Would anyone like to make a comment about that? Because I think that's interesting in the light of the prominence that it's got in our conversation so far. Sabine?
Let me be devil's advocate.
Good.
Of course, I think everybody maintaining service on the internet will be involved in IPv6 in the next couple of years. So it will be Microsoft, it will be Google providing their service, it will be Spiegel providing their services. Of course, it will be us providing the services, will be Cisco, but that's nothing unique to ccTLD, so nothing unique mm-hmm. to the DNS. Mm-hmm. It's something which is completely normal within our industry if a technology changes, that the change of the technology is maintained. So from my perspective, of course we will do it, but the question is it unique for TLD operation? I don't think so. It's something which I can buy actually by my supplier, by Cisco, where I get the information. How to maintain it and how to use it. So it's not really a unique thing which will be dealt on a central level.
Okay, good, thank you. Any other comments from the top table there on that one? Good. And Andy's just reminded me that I should ask about who's doing significant planning now about DNSSEC for the next 3 years in your CC. Okay, so that's another big one. That's another big one. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Rolf. Righto. Now, one of the things, I mean, Sabine's just pointed out that the IPv6 thing is not unique to CCs, but one of the things that is a little bit unique to CCs is that you operate at the intersection of the technical world and the political world, in many cases. That there's a political aspect to what you do. You have some sort of relationship with a government. What are the political factors that are likely to change in the next few years? And I'd like to actually go back to Chris. You were making a comment before about mobile phones, and you were saying that one of the things that happens is that if there are infringements of security for financial transactions, for example, mm-hmm. then I think what you said was they will put more pressure on that. Do you want to talk about they and the pressure?
Yeah, okay. There are some CCs around the world who are working really hard to make sure that what they do is not designated as critical infrastructure, because there is stuff that flows from that that they don't want to have happen. It is pretty hard, a pretty hard argument to maintain. The more and more it becomes an integral part of our life, it would be fairly hard to argue that the electricity system, for example, was not critical infrastructure. There is a price to pay for that. Mm-hmm. The public does not make a distinction between the DNS and the internet. As far as they're concerned, it's just the internet. And we, the trying to make a distinction to people to say, you know, we have nothing to do with content, or we have nothing to do with the spam that you're getting, or etc. It doesn't work particularly well, especially in the minds of politicians who are, and no offence is intended to any politicians in the room. It's a CC meeting, and there are no politicians in the room. They'll pick on something that they can get an easy win out of, and it's an easy win to pick on something that's already being packaged up and managed really well, and then say, well, actually, no, we should be doing that. And the more security issues that arise, that individuals are affected, the more letters that the politicians get from the individuals that are affected, the higher profile the management of the internet gets, and the more it becomes a target. Right now, if you go to the Internet Governance Forum, it's a small number of governments pushing the barrow that it should be government run. The holding back the tide of that of new ones popping up saying this is how it should be run is going to be a very hard thing to do.
Good. Thanks, Chris. Young M, I can see you nodding in agreement there. Would you like to make a comment?
Basically, I do agree, especially in the case of Korea, for example. Mm-hmm. The government is having a stronger and stronger stand with regard to internet in general and the DNS system in particular. So I basically agree with that. If I may take your question a little further with regard to the political change in the CCs, with the introduction of the new GTLDs and the IDNC CTLDs, this has been mentioned previously, but we will see an increase in the number of CCTLD registries and operators, so we will have to maybe come up with a new definition of what a CCTLD is. The other thing is with the proposed city TLD constituency, CTLDC, by the GNSO, and with the possible creation of regional TLDs, the very definition of what a CCTLD is may have to be changed.
Good. Okay, I'll hang on. I'll hang on to that second thought and come back to it in a moment because it's a very important one. I just want to get a perspective from other parts of the world about the way that governments are asserting their power and wishes.
Awakening. Well, yeah, for me, that's one of the main challenges that ICANN will have to face in the coming years, at least in this part of the world from my perspective. And it is because our governments are just starting to pay attention to these kind of issues, or they are just becoming aware that they could do something for several reasons. But sooner or later, they will start to do something on regarding of the CCTLD. So one of the things that most of the community expects from ICANN is the stability of the DNS. So maybe in that regard, ICANN will have to have a good contingent on the CCTLD awareness or CCTLD, education to some governments in order to stop some, not only hostile takeovers, but to in a joint way to start this process of convergence and the way things should be happening or things should be running, as Chris was saying, things won't last this way for too much time. Mm-hmm. So maybe the CCTLDs have to do something in their own country. But if they don't, ICANN will have to face these problems in some way. That's
that's my
good
point of view.
That's good. Thanks, Oscar. Fika, how does that look in Africa?
I think the concern that's been raised is a genuine one. It's a possibility that we may have to face going forward. But I see it being interlinked with a couple of other issues that will eventually influence how governments respond. The issue of versus TLDs and the infrastructure being regarded as critical infrastructure. For example, in South African e-commerce law, there is some classification of what is, of, in fact, there is an expectation and a requirement on a certain ministry in government to declare certain infrastructure as critical. And therefore, obviously, government will have a stronger say on that. It may not have been the case that at this stage they see .za and the infrastructure there has been critical. But I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years down the line if it gets to that stage. Maybe for Africa as a continent, I do see, and it's my personal opinion, I do see a possibility of that happening in that as more governments get exposed to the CCTLDs and how the DNS works, and we see a stronger expression of trying to get the management of CCTLDs back to Africa. And it's something which I don't think is wrong, is right, in fact. But again, you see governments starting to show signs of saying, who runs the CCTLD on what grounds? And try, why don't we set a regulator to run it? So it becomes a huge issue. Other sociopolitical issues within ICANN, I think, may also influence how governments respond. There is an issue, and hopefully I'm not opening a can of worms, the issue of the JPA. Eventually, how, what is decided and how it is decided post-September may either make governments cooperate more with the CCTLD managers and let them be independent, or may make governments think that the CCTL government, I mean, or managers are compromising what they think is critical infrastructure. Then they may say, away, government will decide who runs the CCTLD and how, and that this infrastructure is critical or not.
Yep. Good. Thanks, Vicar. Okay, let's just get a show of hands here. Who's expecting greater government interest, awakening, pressure on the reparations over the next 3 years? Okay, that's just about everybody who's awake. Anyone who's not expecting
anyone
that?
Anyone who's not awake, let's have a vote.
Okay, we've got an exception there. Would you like to just tell us a little bit about why you think that's so? It's Danny, isn't it? Thanks, Danny.
No, we just went through a phase where we got a new law, so I don't expect it to have more attention. So I think we have the same level as we have, and people are happy right now. So, yeah, too late.
So it's already happened to you. Thanks, Danny. Can I just pick up on something that Vicar said as well? Who expects the outcome of the JPA negotiations, so post-September, to have an impact on the way that their government views their operations? Is that a common thing?
Which operation?
Hang on, Rolf wants me to clarify that.
Yeah.
Rolf.
The influence of the post-GPA model so, on the operations of the CCTLD registry?
Or the government's interest in the operations of the CCTLD registry.
I'm not sure that's actually the right question.
Okay, what do you think is the right question, Chris?
I don't know, but I don't think that's the right one.
Okay. Well, let's pretend I didn't ask that one. Andy's got the right question. Now, you've just got the right answer?
I don't know if I've got the right question, but I think if something catastrophic happened to ICANN, you know, as regards to the JPA, then governments would be extremely interested. But if ICANN behaves and continues in a reasonably stable manner, then that shouldn't change government's perception very much. That would be my take, but mm-hmm. I mean, other people may think differently.
Yep. Good, thanks. Leslie?
How about will the continuing internet governance debate affect interest in CC registries?
Will the continuing internet governance debate affect government interest in CCTLD registries? Do people think that
that
will happen?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so some support there. Goodo. Sabine?
Again, maybe just another perspective. I think a lot of we also see a lot of government attention in the CC because it's very easy. So it's very easy for a government to decide, oh, what can I do for the internet within Germany? Oh, yes, there's CCTLD, which is located in Germany, and I can have a look on it. But what we see is the more informed governments get, the more information they get, the more they recognize that the CC is not the internet, and that the internet function has nothing to do with the functioning of the CCTLD. So the German government conducted an ISR2 study about the internet security in Germany, and it basically found out that there is a lot of, and that's also reflected to Chris' thing, that the internet is a highly interdependent system where a lot of things are related. And there is obviously the ISPs. There are exchange points. There are TLD operators. There are obviously root server operators. There are people doing the access to the internet. People doing resolving. And if you look, really, what is the major threat and there are sometimes hardware things like how much cables do we have to access the US. And I can tell you that there are less than TLD servers in Germany, for Germany. So there are a lot of parts which guarantees a working internet. And if we talk about a critical infrastructure, we should be really clear that when we want the internet running, we have to talk about a little bit more about than a running CCTLD. So when we are talking about being a critical infrastructure, we have to talk about, okay, yes, of course we need power supply in our computer science center in Frankfurt to maintain the service. But not only that, we need a connection to the internet exchange in Frankfurt, which then additionally maintains the power. But also all the providers there need also to have their power. And I think what we see is a lot of getting more and more attention and more and more information requests, a lot more and more informed questions, and I think that's a good thing. And that gives the debate a focus which I think is very important and which we as CCTLD should really maintain, that internet is something a little bit more than simply a TLD management.
Good. Thanks, Sylvain. Martin, and then I'll come to the front table there. Okay, we'll swap the order. Bart's a slower microphone fairy.
He's bigger.
Hi, Dave Archibald, Cayman Islands. We've talked about increasing awareness or government waking up. I don't think it's just government. Certainly in my area, I'm finding financial services industry and business is waking up. Mm-hmm. And beginning to realize the significance of the internet and a reliable DNS system on their work. And you're also finding that many of the aspects of financial compliance are now being applied to actually down to the CCTLD registry. You know, they want to know how secure the registry is, etc. Now, that may have happened in the bigger registries a long time ago, but I think it's happening to the smaller registries now.
Good. And I would imagine that there's a certain circular system in there that as they become more interested, they put more pressure on the governments as well, and it goes around. So that's good. Thanks, David. Martin?
Martin Boyle, .uk. I think we've been sort of trying to compartmentalise, and that's not necessarily a very good thing. Mm-hmm. There is an increasing pressure on the political class to respond because of the importance of the internet as part of the economy of society and also because of people's expectations from that. And we're already seeing quite massive pressures in the UK on internet service providers where the mere conduit model is really at a point of breakdown. Lots of parts of government are just no longer accepting that as even being vaguely a future model. And they are, I think, expecting the operators in general to be considerably more proactive and a certain impatience that self-regulation is seen as doing nothing because it's all too difficult. And they really expect self-regulation to be the operators taking a lot more responsibility for what it is they're doing. And if we don't, then that increasing pressure is going to lead to increasing laws. And certainly in the UK, the government is quite reluctant for that, quite simply because it does recognise that the laws will not be very effective. But if we don't show some effectiveness ourselves, then we will be pushed down that particular route. So it is something that we have as our gift, but that does mean not just the registry, but actually quite large swathes of the industry, of the infrastructure industry, behaving very, very much more responsibly.
Good. Thanks, Martin. Strong agreement there from Rolf. Now that, yeah, if you'd like.
This might be an interesting one for a vote.
Yeah, good, go.
I couldn't agree more.
Yep. So would you pose the question for us, Rolf?
So who agrees?
So who agrees that... who agrees that government will hold... let me see if I've got this right. Who agrees that governments will start to hold CCTLD managers responsible... Oh, no, what, you phrase it for me.
I think governments will expect the infrastructure operators to be very, very much more responsible. And if we don't take our responsibility, they will be forced and would, I think, is probably forced to act.
Okay. Who agrees with that sort of sentiment? Okay. That's a fairly strong agreement there. Okay. Perhaps unusually in an ICANN debate, the one little part of the world we haven't heard from yet is North America. So, Byron, I don't know before I move on whether you've got a comment on these sort of issues.
I don't have a lot to add, though I certainly would echo the comments that we just heard. I mean, we have a strong relationship with our government. They take a fairly hands-off approach. They don't seem to want to regulate. They would much rather it just worked well and they didn't have to do anything. But without a doubt, as long as it works well, they won't regulate. Mm-hmm. But there's always that sort of innuendo that it's there. But for the most part, our government is not, at this point, certainly interested in regulating the internet market.
Okay, good, good. Any last comments from the floor on those sorts of issues? Okay, good. I'd like you just to think for a minute or so, and you might want to talk to the person next to you. Here's the issue. Having heard all that sort of stuff that we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes or so, what's the most important things for the CCNSO to be working on over the next 3 years? So just have a bit of a think, talk to the people next to you. What are the most important things for the CCNSO to be working on for the next 3 years? And I'm going to come to the top table first, so be warned.
Typical.
So people can see the question. Sorry, could you just scroll that down a bit so people could see the question? Is that great? Thanks.
So for users and also for government, I like to point out to me
Okay, there's a few good conversations happening there. Remember that we said at the beginning, one of the ways that this strategic planning season will be different from the others is that we'll really need to think about what the priorities are. So in asking you what were the two or three things that the CCNSO needed to be working on, I'm trying to get to that sense of priority. What should those priorities be? So let's hear from our learned friends at the top table. Byron's got the microphone. Away and racing.
Well, obviously, I think it's going to be about the budget.
Tell us why. Hang on. Let's have a listen up here, and we'll get some views from the floor in a moment.
I think that, obviously, for one reason, it is becoming more and more important to ICANN, so we can't help but hear the drumbeat, and we will have to respond in some way, shape, or form to that. The information is available. It's there now. There is going to need to be a response to that. And I think it's a good exercise, and that will help sharpen the focus of what does this community really want? What is worth it? What are our priorities? So in the discussion for ICANN about prioritization, I mean, that's at a high level. Obviously, it flows directly from that. What are our priorities, and how do we feed those up? And one of the ways that you filter through and gain clarity on prioritization is, how much does it cost? Who's paying? Do we really need it or not? Or is there something we really want? So I think the budgeting exercise will certainly be something over the next several years. Depending on the post-JPA environment, what are the roles and responsibilities between the CC community and ICANN? How does that look and work, and how is that shaped in that environment? And certainly IDNs.
Terrific. Thank you. Let's start at this end, Oscar, if you're happy to go next, and we'll roll along from there.
Well, I just want to understand the question. Mm-hmm. Is what is the CCNSO has to do, or the CCTLDs?
I'm happy to take a bit of both, really, because hopefully the two will be interrelated.
Yeah.
One hopes.
Yes. I think that the CCTLDs should... Well, there are, of course, several things that we should work at. And security is one of the main concerns, maybe, for the developer, CCTLDs. But there is a major concern that is how to measure what is a developed CCTLD, and how to it is not how to develop, but how to measure that development, how to measure that level of development, not only for us for internal purposes, but also if we need to show that to, I don't know, our constituencies, our stakeholders, the government, how we could explain in a standard way that we are actually are a well-developed CCTLD, because we have a lot of domain names, because we are a very cheap or very, there could be any different situations, but there is no standard way to answer that question at the moment. So governments may see a different cases in the world and would have reasons to question why are we doing this or another way. So maybe that's one of the, at least from my point of view, major concerns, and I think that we should be trying to start working on what is it as a development thing in a CCTLD.
So it's actually, almost like a what is best practice thing, but it's beyond the technical. It's actually moving into the how does that feel in the social environment as well? How do we respond to stakeholders? Is that the sort of thing?
What's the value that we provide to the territory, country, area?
How do we measure our value?
Yes.
That's great. Thank you. Vicar?
I agree with Oscar as far as security is concerned. We had a little debate while we were looking on that side. But what level of CCTLD is security the most important? Is it for the ones that are more stable or for the ones that are probably still developing? I think across security will be important. And it is pleasing to see that ICANN in this regard is taking some good measures on the issues of ACRP, for example, and I think it's going to be needed for a while, DNSSEC. And there's still going to be a major issue. And I think it then leads to another aspect that I think will be more important, where we had presentations earlier on law enforcement, mm-hmm. which was a topic that interested me quite a lot from Mexico as I attended that open session on law enforcement, because I think the threats that are keep on increasing within the internet and then the DNS also as well will eventually make governments to ask questions of CCTLDs if they're really, really having able to manage infrastructure in a robust and secure way. And that's why I think the point that Martin Boyle was making about CCTLDs being able to offer a good service, it will protect them from governments trying to take them over. I think it is an important point. So security becomes important, and law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we, as a CCTLD, work well with the law enforcement agencies to make sure that within our terms of reference, we are able to ring bells if we see certain threats, and the law enforcement agencies can be able then to act on those. I think that is one important thing. And then the third thing that I think, for obvious reasons, will remain important for CCTLDs over the next few years is new TTLDs. New TTLDs will still continue to be an issue. Not because they are unwanted, no, but because they will add competition. Mm-hmm. Now, I come from a continent where, as a continent, we still have less than 1 million registrations in total. And we've been pointing fingers at .com, .org, and others, and saying they're taking our registrations. And then to double up .coms and .whatevers will definitely mean added competition. But on the flip side, It may also be a good thing in that it says to CCTLDs, how can you improve your services and your offerings to the public so that you can compete well? If we've struggled against .com and now it's .com times two, you really must improve. Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Vicar. Chris?
I agree with him. We talked, and what he said, I agree.
Okay, good. Thank you. Young'un? Byron went first, so we'll skip him. We won't give him two bites at the cherry.
Okay. I think I actually agree with Byron also in terms of emphasizing the budget. I remember in 2004, we've been talking forever about the budget, and then ICANN went ahead and included the CC community in their budget process, and I was a member of the budget committee of the CCNSO, which actually did not produce anything worth mentioning. But this time, ICANN does have a specific plan, and I think in the coming, maybe not in the 4 years that Leslie was talking about, but maybe in at least a year or so or two, we really need to start to think seriously about the budget. The other thing is, I think I mentioned previously, the definition of what a CCTLD is, the characteristic of a CCTLD.
That's great, thanks. And I intend to come back to that one in just a moment. Sabine.
Actually, I think the budget is also a very important issue. Mm-hmm. And I also would, from my perspective, I think it's important to do few things and do them right instead of doing a lot of things. So from my perspective, I think the CCNSO should focus on a very few things, the few things where there is commonality amongst the CCTLDs, where they share actually a common view, and where they actually, which is embedded in ICANN's mission, which is technical stability on a global level. When we talk about things like law enforcement within different countries, how to act with it, I don't think that we will find a common ground. How to convince our local government what's a secure operation and what's not. I think the measures are completely different in different countries. So I think that's something we can maybe within circles learn from each other how we have done it to maintain information, but I don't think that's a real something where the CCNSO should focus on. When we talk to the level of security, I think one very important thing where the CCNSO should work about in assisting ICANN to make the IANA function more secure, especially when it comes to eIANA, when it came to authenticated requests from CCTLD operators and to more automatization, more rapid changes, and let's say, a more predictable and reliable setting. I think that's also a very important issue.
Good. Thanks, Sabine. Now, what were the other things out there that people were talking about on the floor, or have we covered the major issues? Leslie? And then somewhere at that top table, I think, Bart. And then there as well.
I was just going to respond to this budget thing, because I think there's a real danger we could become very inwardly focused and spend a huge amount of time on discussing CC contributions and miss spending lots of time on security, which actually I think is a bigger priority.
Okay, that's good. And Andy's going, yes, 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 behind you. Thanks, Leslie. At the top table there, Roth, or...?
Hello. I'm Annabeth Lange from the Norwegian Registry. Absolutely, we thought that trust...
It's not on. It needs to be turned up a bit.
Here?
That's better.
Okay. That's trust in every form. And that is what we talked about, that the relationship between the government and the CCTLDs, and also the relation between ICANN and the rest of the governments, and more all governments. And then we can relate it to the IGF, because if we have new 5 years of IGF in front of us. And if we can't gain trust in the ICANN society, we have a potential danger there. We talked about that already. And also a concern, I think, could be that in the implementation of the new GTLDs, both CC, IDN CCTLDs and other IDN TLDs, and the new in ASCII, the amount of new TLDs creates a little fear in many countries for the scalability. Is it really possible to do this in one batch, or even if they separate a little, it could be really a great thing to do at the same time? So, and that has to be to do with trust as well. So if we don't manage this, then we have a problem.
Very good insight. Thank you. Now, in the middle there.
Actually, we have started discussion that I was thinking that there's a difference between countries. Each country can take its own approach, a difference from a situation to situation. But at, by the end of the discussion, we found that there is no real difference. There is maybe some are taking more steps than the others, but we are taking the same approach more or less. One of the most important issues that we are thinking about is the user protection or the contents authentication that we are working on. We have already started in Egypt talking about this, how to protect the child or the family protection, how to be sure the contents that are reachable to everybody is authenticated, and this kind of stuff that's very important for the community as a whole. One more topic also that we are thinking seriously about that is how to translate the good stuff or contents that you'd like to bring it into the IDN or the in the Arabic text, for example, let's say it like this. Those are very important issues that is going to be evolving within the coming 2 or 3 years. If you'd like to add something else.
Thanks, Ashwin. Martin, do you want to add?
Well, not really. I think she's covered it very, very well. I think I would categorize it as perhaps a user drive. And that when we look at our priorities, perhaps what we should be doing to help ourselves prioritize is to look at the expectations and the demands of our users. And as was just pointed out, the user demand for IDN in countries like Egypt, which I think becomes really important.
Good. Thank you. Way down the back there.
Ron Sherwood, DOVI. The premise that you started this with was the post-JPA environment in September. A question of you, are you sure that there will be a post-JPA environment in September?
Well, there'll definitely be a post-JPA environment.
If I could predict anything in the future, I wouldn't have to stand here and do this. I don't know, and it's not my place to make a call on what's a much bigger issue. Doug, I don't know if you want to respond to this, but it's not something that anyone can be certain of.
All right. The reason I ask a question is because all this is based on that premise, everything we're saying. And if there's not going to be a post-JPA environment in September, then perhaps that should be our biggest consideration.
Right.
I would like to ask a question of the audience, if I may, with the green papers.
Yeah, sure.
How many people in this room have heard live or have read the transcripts of the congressional hearing on ICANN 2 weeks ago?
So a few.
That's not very many. Mm-hmm. I don't know what other people in the room or those that have read the transcripts felt, but essentially what happened was that Paul Toomey advised the congressional hearing that ICANN had completed the JPA agreement according to everything that was required of it and was prepared to be the entity that it was meant to be originally, independent of control by the Department of Commerce. The two government departments, the Department of Commerce being one of them, said that essentially there was no problem with that because whether or not the JPA agreement terminated in September, there would still be plenty of input, I think was the word that was used, but it was meant to be stronger, from the Department of Commerce, because they would have access to ICANN through the GAC and the United States government. All other testifiers at that congressional hearing were wealthy, powerful, commercial groups, including telecommunications and registrars and what have you, who said very clearly that the JPA should not terminate in September, that essentially ICANN wasn't doing its job, and that it could be better done by other people. In each case, it was those people that were testifying that could do the job better.
Ron, I'm just conscious of time, so if I can get you to come to the point.
Okay, I'm sorry. My point is that all this made it seem very uncertain to me, and I feel that perhaps our greatest concern right now should be, is there going to be a post-JPA environment in September? And if not, that should be our priority on how to deal with it.
Patrick. Cool.
Thank you.
Patrick.
Chris.
Can I address that?
Yes.
Ron, there is the JPA does end on the whatever day it is in September. It just does. The question is whether anything will replace it or not, and if it does get replaced, what with. Except by agreement, it cannot be extended. It has to finish, or it gets extended. So unless ICANN says, yes, okay, we'll agree to extend it, it either goes or is replaced by something else. Nothing can make that happen other than agreement. So I just want to make, I know that might sounds like a fine point, but it's really about what if anything replaces it.
The testimony was primarily aimed at extending the JPA or
yes,
maintaining
that.
Department by
I
the
understand that.
Department of
yeah.
Commerce.
Yeah. But actually, Paul said this morning, it does end on the whatever day it is in September. So.
Well.
But the question is what replaces it all, et cetera.
And Ron, we take your point that that's something that will need work. And I think what that does is takes us into the last area of questioning, really, which is we've looked at the really big picture. How will the DNS and the internet be different? We've then come down through what's the political environment in which you operate, down to what are the issues for CCTLDs, and then what should the CCNSO be working on. I'd like to take us, in a sense, just back up one level, which is the sort of thing that Ron's been talking about, and also the area that Young Am's been trying to take us into at least twice during the afternoon. And that is, what's the stuff that the ICANN organisation should be working on? So that may overlap with the CC stuff. It may be different. The JPA stuff that Ron's been talking about is one example. Are there other things that you think the ICANN organisation should be working at? And we'll just take some views from the top table again. Byron, you did such a great job of going first last time. You happy to go first again?
Sure. Well, certainly settling whatever post September 30th looks like will obviously have to be one of the top priorities. But that's a very short-term objective. I think there needs to be considerable work done on improving effectiveness and efficiency of the organization. And I think like any organization, and if we look at technology companies as an example, albeit ICANN is very different than that, but there's a life stage to organizations. I mean, organizations are really like organisms, and they move through time, and they mature, and they change shape and form. I think ICANN is likely very much at an inflection point right now. September 30th is one element of that. Staff, you know, COO, CFO, maturing of the organization at a management level. All of those things are happening right now, and I think that will start to change the organization, and it must change to become more effective at what it does, more efficient. So I think that's a key thing on how that transpires, and hopefully Doug's going to continue to do some good work there. We've already seen it on the finance side with Kevin. I think the other thing is transparency is one thing, and that's certainly very important, but as I heard somewhere else in the last couple of days, accountability and transparency are two completely separate things. Mm-hmm. And you can be crystal clear in terms of your transparency, but it doesn't mean you have to be accountable at all. And while I'm not saying ICANN has that model per se, I think there's certainly room for more accountability for the actions that it takes. And we may have even seen some events over the past few days where there's questionable relationship between accountability and transparency. So that continues to need to improve. And then security and stability. We saw presentations today on security. It's been talked about at some length here today, this afternoon, in this session. And stability, certainly as it relates to volume, DNS queries, how are we going to handle that? ICANN needs to be, I would argue, even more involved in those actions. And I think, yes, SAC's doing a good job, but more emphasis and weight placed on in and around those areas. So in terms of top priorities, mm-hmm. effectiveness and efficiency, accountability, and security stability, to me, are the core things that ICANN needs to focus on. And out of that drops, I think, a key notion, which goes to maturity, is don't have to do so many things. An operating plan shouldn't necessarily have 15 key elements. Do fewer things better.
Terrific. Thanks, Byron. Let's keep going. Oh, sorry, Doug, yeah.
So I want to really apologize. My timing couldn't be worse just as we're hearing what ICANN should do. But I have to go somewhere at 5:30. But I just briefly say, to me this conversation seems like it's exactly on the right track, and I will absolutely read through the transcript of the A couple things I would say that would be particularly helpful is, Byron just, picking off of some of the things you've said, as you talk about things like efficiency, transparency, and accountability, specifically accountability, the more you can be specific about what that means, I think that can be helpful. And then when you want to take things off the operating plan list of 15 items, which I want to do, tell us what. Tell us what not to do, not only tell us to make it shorter. And again, I support that, but just looking for, the more specific help, the better. Thanks for letting me attend the CCNSO session here. And I think we got started late, and unfortunately I just have to go at this point. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. We might keep going that way this time, Young Em.
In line with the JPA thought and where it's going, intentionally not explaining why, I think ICANN needs increased cooperation with the general ICANN community, especially the GAC and other global governments.
Terrific. Thank you. That's nice. That's a nice, clear priority. Sabine.
I think I agree, especially with the last sentence from Brian, because which make few things and make them right. So try to stick to the core mission and try to run these core things effective. I think two additional things I think which, from my perspective, are very important is recognize different responsibilities. So make clear what's your responsibility and where is the responsibility from others. And try to make that really clear and don't take on board every single thing which came up and say, even if it's a the responsibility for different people. So let's say some of the things can be handled much better in already existing organizations like ORG and at the IETF. So you don't have to invent all the all through the wheels new. And use the source of your community. So we see a tremendous amount of work doing doubling work. We have currently a lot of CCTLDs currently doing IDN operations in reality, in practice. It's .de, it's in the Arab region, it's in the Chinese region. I'm sure they will be happy and luckily to provide all those information and sources, how the which problems arise, how they arise, and where there are problems. And maybe that solves a lot of questions which are currently discussed on a very theoretical level.
Terrific. Thank you. We'll come over here. Oscar?
Well, I don't think that, that we as a CCTLD should prioritize the items that ICANN should work in. We could prioritize our issues as CCTLDs, and it's up to ICANN how do they manage to finalize all these things together. If they define three lines of production for every supporting organization or just one line, that's up to them. We could come up with our own priorities after defining what are our expectations. First, that's the exercise that we should come up to define what is what we want ICANN to work in related to the CCTLDs. And now coming back to the question, what's the main priorities? I don't know. I think that the IDNs are very important for many CCTLDs, but not for all CCTLDs. And I think that we should start working and defining what's on the agenda for all the CCTLDs. I know that there are very few issues that the CCNSO should be working in, and but that's what I want to see. I mean, I want to do some. I want to see something done in this at the CCNSO level that could affect the my registry, my for the benefit, of course, of the .mx registry. I still don't see much things since 12 years ago that I've been working this.
Good. Thank you, Oscar. Pika?
Transparency, accountability, as well as already been mentioned, so I think that's important. I also agree that there were some of at least two of the three top priorities that I can could work on as they relate to the board, as they relate to the community model itself. That I think maybe there may be questions going forward that may be asked of the community model, mainly because it's unprecedented. You know, then, and as something unprecedented, it may have its own weaknesses. There may be a question about certain decisions that, for example, the board can make, that you start to wonder or you want to question. And if you want to question that decision, can you pin a particular director? In what way? Because a director is not up there representing a constituency. So who does that a director account to? You know, so accountability and transparency will become the issues as we go forward. Thanks.
Terrific. Thank you. Chris?
To improve its effectiveness as an organization, ICANN needs to have clarity of purpose. It needs to have leadership. It needs to have a trust environment. And it needs to prioritize what it is that it wants to do. We can all contribute to all of those. The prioritization is the one that we can contribute to the most. The clarity of purpose is something we can contribute to, but it needs to be started off by others. Leadership needs to come from the top in the sense of the board, as well as from ourselves. I've forgotten what the other one was now, but that's it for me. The specifics of it will all fall into place if those things actually happen.
Good, thanks, Chris. Any very quick reactions from the floor? I'm aware that we're just effectively out of time. Okay, let me just reiterate from the slides at the beginning that we are now at the start of the strategic planning season. It's been fantastic to have the support of the CCNSO to have this discussion today. We'll be doing similar things in different ways with other constituency groups. All of that input will turn up for the board in September, and that then, along with some staff input, will become a draft plan that will be distributed in early October in time for discussion in Seoul, at the Seoul meeting. There will probably be public forums, online forums, where you can make additional comments, and we'd really welcome those as well. We value very much the contribution of the community to this process, and as we said at the beginning, the more that we can make this the community's plan, the better off we'll be. So thank you very much for your input and your time this afternoon. A special thank you to our panellists. And Byron, I'll leave the last word to you.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for everybody participating and sticking around till 5:30 after a long day. Much appreciated. And thanks for the feedback. Clearly, people not only stuck around but stayed awake, so that's much appreciated. Just a couple of quick words. One, this is a process that we want feedback from the community. Just to make sure everybody understands, the working group is not going to speak for the community. All we're trying to do is facilitate the community's ability to speak for itself. Mm-hmm. So we're not submitting anything to the process per se. We want to help the community submit as individuals their own comments to the strategic process. That's an important thing to take note of. Any comments you have or suggestions, please email them to the working group. You can send them to me, at least to start with. So any suggestions on how to engage, what would be beneficial, what would be helpful, please feel free to comment. Just in closing, I'd like to say thank you to Patrick, to Doug in absentia, and to Leslie for kicking it off. Very much appreciated. I think it was a very positive, worthwhile session. Thank you. And also to the panel here, and to the working group itself, who's got us to this point. Thank you very much. So, and just also a final plea, please participate. Thank you very much. Have a great evening at the CC dinner tonight.
And reply to the survey, please.